Well, welcome to our segment two, and this is where we do our Bible study, as you just heard, with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert. Beth, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Amy. Well, yesterday we saw the conclusion of how David has dealt with the sin of Saul against the Gibeonites, and today we're going to pick back up in 2 Samuel chapter 21, and this scene that we have here, again, appears to be out of order chronologically. We're not entirely sure when this happened in David's reign, but we get some really interesting information out of this section. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel. We'll be reading in chapter 21, verses 15 through 22. There was war again between the Philistines and Israel, and David went down together with his servants, and they fought against the Philistines. And David grew weary. And Ishbi-Benob, one of the descendants of the giants, whose spear weighed 300 shekels of bronze, and who was armed with a new sword, thought to kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and attacked the Philistine and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, "You shall no longer go out with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel." After this, there was war again with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekai, the Hushathite, struck down Saph, who was one of the descendants of the giants. And there was again war with the Philistines at Gob, and Elhanan, the son of Jair-Oregim, the Bethlehemite, struck down Goliath the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was again war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number. And he also was descended from the giants. And when he taunted Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, struck him down. These 4 were descended from the giants in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. War again. Big surprise, right? And David went with his servants to fight the Philistines, the enemy of God. And David grew weary. David isn't a young man at this point. He's been a fighting man and a soldier for nearly his whole life, and his life has been one filled with adventures, and that all takes a toll on a person. Ishbi-Benob, it appears, was either one of the offspring of Goliath or a very near relative of Goliath. And he sees David falter and thinks, "Revenge!" But Abishai, David's nephew, rushes to the rescue, and thanks to his assistance, David is able to kill the Philistine. But David isn't going to get out of this battle without some firm words from his men. Remember, the men didn't want David in the battle with Absalom. At that point, they succeeded in convincing David not to go into battle. But here, though, David comes and joins the fray, and his men are now going to put their feet down. David is not able to cope with battle as he once did, and as king, it's very important that he stays safe, so they insist that he remain out of battle from then forward. And there's another battle almost immediately again with the Philistines, and another giant is killed. By the way, Saph's name comes from the word for the lintel of the door, the top of the door, probably because this giant was as tall as the lintel of a door. And then there's another battle after that, and another giant gets killed. It seems a little bit odd, right? Why is Goliath's name here? Well, for clarity, we're going to jump to the parallel account of this in 1 Chronicles 20. There we're going to see that it says, Elhanan kills Lahmi, the brother of Goliath. So this was a man of Goliath's family, his brother, in fact, who's killed here. And then, at another battle, there's another giant, and this one belongs in the Princess Bride. 6 fingers on each hand, 6 toes on each foot. And when this giant taunted Israel, Jonathan, David's nephew, kills that giant. So we see that David and his men killed not just one, but 5 giants. David fought Goliath. Remember that? Remember when we talked about the 2 different theories about why David picked up 5 stones? One theory suggests that David was selecting 5 stones that he could kill Goliath and 4 of Goliath's male relatives. The other theory, which I actually think is the correct one, is that David was being prepared when he went to fight Goliath. Still, some scholars try to conjure up proof for their theory that David was ready to kill 5 men, not 1, from this passage right here. They see the 4 relatives of Goliath and they think, oh, it's got to be a connection. Try to stay with me today because this is going to be a little bit confusing. Goliath is described as a descendant of Rapha. Here we have more of the descendants of Rapha: Ishbi-Benob, Saph, and Lahmi, the brother of Goliath. Now, you're going to think to yourself, Beth, I don't see the name Lami. I'm confused. And again, we talked about how in 1 Chronicles 25, the same battle is described, and it says that Elhanan killed Lami, the brother of Goliath the Gittite. Now stay with me. Here's the first part of this misunderstanding. It appears that the copyist who wrote the Hebrew for Lami, the brother of, read that as Bethlehemite. Stay with me. Here's the second part. The Hebrew for Oregim is translated as weavers. Here's the last part. The Hebrew word order is different than in English. In Hebrew, the word killed stands in the first clause, and weaver, the weaver's rod, Oregim, stands in the last. So all of that to say, all the words are here. They just got put a little bit out of order. Elhanan was the son of Jair, not the son of Jair Oregim. So Elhanan, son of Jair, killed Lami, the brother of Goliath, became, when this copyist got a hold of it, Elhanan, son of Jeroregim, the Bethlehemite. Remember, that's where the whole Lami brother was misread, okay? And that's who killed Goliath the Gittite. So the word order got mixed up is really what happened. We know from 1 Samuel that David killed Goliath, not Elhanan. Also, this is not a contradiction. If you were able to go back and read the Bible in its original Hebrew, you would be able to see the lack of a mistake for yourself. You'd be able to see the word order there and see that the words are all there. It's just one copyist put them in one order and one copyist put them in a different order. But since y'all don't read Hebrew any better than I do, well, I spelled it out for you. So all of that to say, David killed Goliath. Here we have the death of four more of Goliath's relatives, three of whom are named Ishbi, Benob, Saph, and Lami. There you go. Now, I wasn't about to skip this part of 2 Samuel because it is so important to always know that Scripture does not contradict itself and that Scripture is accurate. The God who made the universe, who spoke the world into being, surely has enough power to make sure that the men who were writing his words into the book we call the Bible didn't add their own agendas or remove anything that he wanted in there. God is still supreme, ladies. Always. Every day. The Hebrew is correct on this passage. The words are even still put in there. Just not in the order that we recognize. But we still have the Hebrew to look back on, and we have Chronicles to look at as well to see where the mistake was made by a human, not by God. This whole bit here today just reminds me that there are seasons for everything in our lives. David had a very long season of being a warrior, but that season has now passed for him. Yet the season of Israel fighting the Philistines was not over yet. Our lives have seasons, ladies. You may be here in an early season or a late season, a season of singleness or uniting in marriage, a season of babies or teenagers, but they are all seasons, and seasons do change. They do pass away. I spoke with a woman just recently who had retired from teaching after 30 plus years and was called to be a long-term substitute for a teacher on maternity leave. She expressed her amazement at how tired she was teaching in this other teacher's place, and then I gently reminded her that she had passed into a later season, but because her help was needed, she was being pushed back into an earlier season for a season. It was no wonder to me why she was tired. It made perfect sense. Her body wasn't prepared for the season that it was being asked to fulfill. My question for you today is this. Are you present in the season you're currently in? Or are you longing for the next season? So often we miss the beauty and the lessons that God has for us in the season that we are in because we can't wait to get on to the next thing. I see it especially in parenting, and I remind myself that my sons will only be this age for a short time, and then they will be off on their own. So instead of longing for the days when they can get all their own meals or do their own laundry, I try hard to be present to see the opportunity to make their meals as a gift, or at the very least to remind myself that this is only for a season, and one day I won't have them in my house to cook for them, and I will miss it. Today, ladies, look at where God has put you. Bloom where he has planted you, and trust him to bring the change in the seasons in his time.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.